Today, we're going to talk about three different millionaire metrics that you need in your business to win big time. What's up, family? Welcome back to another episode of Financial Freedom Fast Lane. And you know the vibes. The quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you get to live it. And I'm your host, George Achimpong. So I'm going to be honest with y'all today. My allergies, I'm in a fight for my life with my allergies, y'all. They are kicking my butt. So if I have to pause and get my tissue, just like bear with me. But in the spirit of consistency, I'm going to show up in spite of, right? Shout out to the BU, they'll adjust shirt. You can get it in the Melanin Money store. But before we get into that, just like last week, we're going to get into some current events. Not going to go through as many as last week just because I want to be able to get right to the topic. But I did want to give you some current events and some news you could use. All right, first on the list. So Krispy Kreme and McDonald's have created this little happy partnership and marriage, if you will, where they are now, Krispy Kreme is now planning to have its donuts sold in every McDonald's by 2026, right? So not only can you get your French fries and your McGriddles and your Big Macs, now just go ahead and add to the diabetes coma and go ahead and get you some Krispy Kreme as well. I think it's an extremely strategic and smart business move for sure. McDonald's stock and Krispy Kreme stock are going to benefit greatly on the news, obviously. But person like me, I don't go to... Now, I have had Krispy Kreme in the past couple of years, I think, but I haven't had McDonald's in over a decade. Outside of that one time when I went to Shanghai and I didn't know what I was eating. So I was like, let me just maybe at least get McDonald's because at the end of the day, you know, if you don't know nothing else, you know McDonald's. Outside of that, I don't eat McDonald's. But business-wise, very strategic. Shout out to McDonald's. Shout out to Krispy Kreme. All right. Now, also in stock market news, the S&P 500 closed out the quarter at a staggering 10.2%. That is a record-breaking first Q1. Hasn't been that great since 2019. So the stock market is surging. It's doing well. A lot of that fueled by NVIDIA, who was up over 90%, which fueled the AI rally. All the AI stocks, right, benefited from how well NVIDIA is doing. So more to come on if the year continues to trend upwards. Some analysts are thinking that the S&P 500 will end down below 4,500, but to be determined if that's the case. Right now, we're going to ride this wave and see how long we can ride it. So in earnings news, we got a few earnings this week. Monday, we got BlackRock. Today, actually, BlackRock Municipal Trust. Tuesday, we got Dave & Buster's. Anybody been to Dave & Buster's growing up? Go and play some games. Pretty fun place. They got earnings on Tuesday. We got ExxonMobil on Wednesday. Simply Good Foods Co. on Thursday. And we got Byrna Technologies on Friday, right? So those are our earnings for the week. Are you guys bullish on these earnings, bearish on these earnings? Do you think these companies are going to hit their targets? And as a result, do we think the stocks are going to continue to grow? Or do we think they're going to be a little bit of a pullback based upon their projections, right? I'm personally bullish on ExxonMobil. I think they're making some good moves. So we'll see what happens at the earnings call. All right, so let's get into today's millionaire metrics, right? There are plenty of metrics that you need to measure in your business. Remember, you cannot master what you do not measure, but these three are some of the most important, all right? So the first one is customer acquisition cost. How much does it cost you to acquire a customer? Now, some of you guys might be relying upon referrals or friends and family, or maybe you just don't know this metric. If I were to ask you, like, how much does it cost you to acquire a customer? The average person might not have an answer, right? But once you start spending money on paid advertising, whether it's through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, traditional media, whatever, right? That data is going to tell you how much it costs you to acquire a customer, right? So let's say that you spent $1,000 in ads and you got four customers from it. Then you know that it costs you $250 to acquire a customer, right? Obviously, that's a little bit high, depending upon the product or service that you sell. Generally speaking, right, the higher ticket the offer, right, you're probably going to have to spend, and the more narrow the niche, the more money you're probably going to have to spend to acquire a customer. Why? right? Because it's a higher price point product and you have a much more narrower group of people that you can reach out to versus casting a wider net, right? Which is okay, but it's just good to understand. So understanding your customer acquisition cost is very, very helpful, because if you can drive that customer acquisition cost down and you already have a predetermined budget for acquiring customers, the lower you can get your customer acquisition costs, the more customers you can acquire, right? So for us right now, we're trying to get our CAC down to about $3.80, anywhere between $3.80 and $5. We're happy for one particular line of business, one particular revenue stream that we have, right? So it's going to vary depending upon the product or service. It's going to vary depending upon how wide or narrow the niche is. But ultimately, you want to understand your customer acquisition costs, because the more you get that down, the more customers you can acquire at the same budget. Okay, so the next metric I want y'all to really understand is, drumroll please, LTV, right? Lifetime value. What is the lifetime value of your customer, right? So when somebody becomes a customer of yours, how long are they staying with you and how much are they spending is what you want to know, right? One, it's important to know so you can get a general sense of what a customer is worth to you. Now that you just understood customer acquisition costs, you can see how that can help you influence your budget on what you're willing to spend based upon your average LTV, right? For example, if you have a customer that on average, right, the lifetime value of that customer is $1,000, meaning they're coming back to your store and they're spending $100 here, $50 here, $200 there, et cetera, and the average LTV is about $1,000, what that tells you, not saying you would do this, but what that tells you is that you can afford to spend up to $1,000 on a customer and not lose any money and still break even. Now, obviously, all of us are in business to be profitable, but some companies like tech startups and high growth companies, they're okay because they're just trying to gain market share, right? So they know, well, shoot, I can essentially acquire customers for free and I can afford to spend up to XYZ dollars, right? Because once you understand your lifetime value of the customer, as long as what you're spending to acquire that customer does not exceed that, then you're not, at least you're not in the red, right? And you're essentially acquiring customers for free at scale. All right, and the third metric I want you guys to really understand is average order value, right? So LTV is great, but it could take you 18 months, right, to understand what the LTV on that customer is, right? Whereas average order value gives you a really good indication that by the time I acquire a customer, right, how much are they typically spending with me, right? How much are they typically spending with me? So let's just say that your average order value is $100. Great. Just like the LTV can influence the customer acquisition cost decision, so can the average order value, right? Which might be an even better real-time indicator, because if the average customer is spending $100 with you, then you know, again, you could afford to spend $100 at minimum, right? Or a maximum, however you want to put it, without losing money to acquire that customer, because you know they're going to come back into your store and spend at least $100. Now, again, I know some of you might be like, well, guys, what's the point of acquiring customers if I'm just breaking even on them? We're not saying that that's the goal. It just influences the data-driven decisions that you can make versus just saying, oh, I can only afford to spend $1,000 on paid marketing. Well, the data is saying that on average, every time you spend $1,000, you're getting this many new customers who are spending this amount of money, who through the lifetime of the relationship are going to spend this amount of money. That can help you make a more well-rounded decision versus just arbitrarily saying, I can only afford to spend this. Or on the flip side of that, well, I'm going to spend as much money as I want to spend because everybody's coming to my store and they're buying stuff. Well, true. But what happens when the inverse is true and it's like, all right, well, now I'm spending $300 to acquire a customer because I don't care. I'm like, oh, I just want to acquire as many customers as possible. I'm feeling good about people buying my stuff. But when you look at the average order value in the LTV, right, lifetime value of the customer, it's not making sense, right? So the math has to math. You got to look at all of the numbers and determine, does this make sense? Sometimes you have to cut off a product line. Sometimes you have to make changes because just because somebody, here's a bar, just because somebody is spending money with you doesn't mean that it's a profitable client or customer, right? Especially in like e-com or people who sell like physical products, right? Because someone could be buying something from your store. They could be buying a $25, $30 t-shirt, but if it's costing you $50 to acquire the customer, then you're not making any money. You're not only losing money to acquire the customer, on top of that, the average order value is less than that. And that's not even factoring in all the costs associated with delivering that product, right? The cost of goods sold. So it could get tricky really fast. Like, people could think that, oh, I'm acquiring customers, they're buying my stuff. Why, when I look at my business bank account, is it not translating to what I would expect? It's because you're not looking at the full spectrum of all of the metrics, right? Again, these are just three, but you want to know your gross margins. There's a lot of things you want to know that are going to determine, like, does this product or service make sense? Because it could make sense in theory. When you actually look at the data, it might not make sense. So one of the things you can do, and I'll give a tip for LTV as well, one of the things you can do to improve your average order value is to sell premium products, right? Sell products that have more margin, right? Well, I guess those are not mutually exclusive, because you could sell earrings, right? They could have a high perceived value, but it might only cost you 20 cents to get the earrings, right? So sell products that allow you to create more margin, right? And also sell products that are premium, specifically for the AOV metric, average order value. Sell products that allow you to charge more so that you can increase your average order value. Another thing you can do to increase your average order value is to create recommendations or complimentary products or order bumps, right? An order bump is, you've seen people who bought this also like this, right? Recommendations, or when they buy something, show them something else in their cart before they check out. Do you want to add this? It happens to you, or it happens on you, so it can happen for you, right? So think of those little incremental ways, like same way when you go to the grocery store and you weren't thinking about the magazine at the register or the cold drink at the register, but it's right there, right? And so these are these little incremental ways that they're doing to increase average order value. You came for eggs, but why are the eggs in the back of the store? Because they know you got to walk past all this other stuff. He's like, oh, well, I probably could use a little more cheese, right? That cereal not looking half bad. So they strategically place certain items, right, that they know people are coming for, the necessities, at the back of the store, so that you have to walk past all these other things and get enticed to spend money, right? It's all scientific. It happens to you. It always happens to you. You might not realize it or not. Now you're definitely going to realize it, especially for those of us who go to fast food restaurants, right? Upsell. Do you want to get a large? Do you want to get this? Do you want to get that, right? They're finding ways to increase that average order value. So ask yourself, when I look at my store or look at whatever I'm selling, how can I add something that is complementary to this particular product? How can I maybe sell a premium price product that just simply would increase my average order value because it costs more, right? Like, what are those little ways? Maybe even a bundle. Like, can I create a bundle? Like, again, fast food restaurants are notorious for that. That's what the combo is. You might've just really wanted a chicken sandwich, but they said, well, you can't leave without the fries and the drink. It seems normal now, but somebody long ago had that bright idea. Like, let's make it a meal, right? Let's offer them a perceived discount when they bundle it together. So ask yourself, can I bundle products? Like, there's plenty of ways to increase your average order value. Right now in LTV, you want to think about, can I sell something that's recurring? Right? Can I sell something that like is either on subscription or like a consumable good where it's like that when they run out, they're going to want to re-up, right? They're going to need more. So that's a nice way to increase LTV. Also, just having really quality products is a great way to increase LTV. Continuing to consistently, this is across the board, nurture and market to the people who have already bought from you is a great way to increase LTV. Sometimes people buy from us one time, we forget to continue to reach out to them. Hey, I just wanted you to know we got this new product or service, right? You guys opt into a lot of stuff all the time. Y'all get hit up with emails over and over and over and over again because they want to increase your LTV, right? I think subscription is probably really at the top of the list because you now can have a little bit more predictable revenue. It's like, all right, cool. Like, if I can get them to pay this every month or every quarter or even every year, right? And then I look at what is my retention rate associated with that subscription. Then that'll kind of give you some data to know, like, if nothing else happens, at least I'm going to have X amount of dollars coming in from this subscription, right? So how can I get people on some type of automated renewal billing, make it easy for them, and also have more consistent revenue in my business, right? So hopefully that makes sense. Those are three metrics that you can leverage. I forgot. We didn't even acknowledge the fact that I'm in my standing desk. Y'all like it? Can y'all tell? Is it weird for y'all? Probably not. Probably about the same. But like, I did want to acknowledge I have this little standing desk situation. You know, we have exactly 9 months left in the year. A whole human being can be birthed in 9 months. So surely you can birth a new version of yourself in these next 9 months, right? Remember, guys, freedom is for sale. If you're willing to pay the price over these next 9 months, and you can birth a completely different version of yourself. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure if you like this episode, subscribe to our YouTube channel, leave a comment. Let me know what you want to hear from me, and we'll see you next time. Peace.